Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Reagan, I need you to come up here, please. This is my son, Reagan. Say hi. All right. Right outside Pastor Brown's office is that table he has. I need you to grab a flag, just the flag, okay? Okay, go. So we'll be reading those verses, and then we'll hop into the message. Come unto me, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the word go in the Greek form is used 157 times in the New Testament. It can mean go, depart, walk, or journey, or several other variations thereof. And we're constantly, as a pastor, we're constantly telling people to go. Oh, the light is out. I was like, I thought, anyway, we're constantly telling people to go. We're constantly telling people to go do stuff. We're constantly keeping people on the move all the time. And we are in a go society. We're compelled to work more. We're compelled to be connected to one another. We're compelled to always be in touch. Employers now can email their employees, and their employees can be available basically 24/7. Today, I had a little problem here at church, and I needed help, and I was able to call Mike Strickland. He couldn't get away for one day. He was forced to answer my phone call. In fact, I was able to get a phone call from Pastor Brown today all the way from Germany. I mean, we are always connected, aren't we? We're in that kind of... So bring that up, buddy. And if we're not careful in the 21st century, you can easily become a victim of not looking around and seeing life. You can just be a victim of it. My oldest daughter, she's turning 7. Oh, thank you, Reagan. You guys see this flag? Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to set it over here. I'm going to need you to grab just one bag of coffee. Go. Just one. How many, Reagan? Just one. Just take your time. But if we're not careful, we can miss things. And Evelyn, this week, she is turning 7 on me. My Evelyn cannot be 7 years old, but life just keeps ticking by. I had asked her this week, I said I'd pay her $100 if she would stay 6 years old, but we'd probably have to put 25-pound weights on her head so she wouldn't get any taller. And she has refused my request. She's insisting on turning 7. She says she can't stop growing. And then a couple weeks ago, I was around another toddler, and I saw the toddler run around like, oh, that's Sophie. And I realized it was someone smaller than Sophie. She was only 2 years old. And I saw Sophie walking around like a giant. And I realized Sophie's getting so big. Your kids get big in a hurry. And if you're not careful, you miss them growing up. You miss the opportunities to go fishing with them, to go camping with them, to go do whatever you do and find interesting. Your kids are not going to stop moving. Our relationship with Christ, in a grander sense, is the singular most important thing we do. That relationship we have, we can't undo the hours of neglect that we have with Him. We can't neglect every blessing that we've missed from Him. We can't miss it. And then when we just keep living life and we're too busy to spend time with Christ, that ends up being a problem because we miss out on all sorts of things. Okay, Reagan, I have a hat. I need the Stetson hat, okay? The one that says Stetson on it. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the next few things. Come unto me, learn of him, and take his yoke. In these areas, we will find rest. I want folks to find rest. I want us to be able to take a deep breath once in a while and just see what God has for us. So as we looked at those verses, now we're going to really kind of look at the introduction of the sermon. In Matthew, is the first of the four Gospels, and the book primarily deals with the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And Jesus is presented as what? The King of Israel. And he's officially rejected. John wrote, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It was the Jewish leaders who had said, we have no king but Caesar. In Matthew 1, David the king is mentioned twice. Matthew 2, King Herod comes looking for the one who was born king of the Jews. Matthew 3, John the Baptist preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4, Jesus is tempted of Satan and in the wilderness. And the third temptation was, "If you worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." In Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount starts with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In Matthew 9 or 6, it says, "Thy kingdom come." In Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." In Matthew 7, it says, "Not every one of you saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 8, the Roman centurion, a Gentile, who had great faith that Jesus could heal his daughter. It says, "And I say unto you..." Reagan, you made a mistake there. I said the Stetson, so I need you to take that back and get the Stetson for me, okay? Leave that one back. He said that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a clear reference to Gentile believers. And to God rejecting the children of the kingdom, Jews, because of their unbelief. The key to the kingdom is not bloodline, it is faith, isn't it? So this is all about kingdom. This is all about kingdom. This is all about kingdom. We're in the book of Matthew. It's all about the kingdom. Christ as king, isn't it? And Jesus works several miracles in chapter 9 and sends the disciples out to preach in chapter 10 and tells them in Matthew 10:7, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now we come to chapter 11, where we're going to be spending time. And we won't read the whole chapter, but Jesus praises John the Baptist in verse 11 and the kingdom of heaven in verses 11 and 12. Then in verse 20 to 24, he rebukes the cities of Israel, where he did most of his mighty works. He mentions Bethsaida, Capernaum, all those. And he said, "If he had done the same works in Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, all wicked heathen cities, that they would have repented long ago." This is a very big chapter and has huge significance. Note the prayer. Jesus thanks the Father, even though he's been rejected. Jesus says the truth is hidden from the wise and revealed unto the babes. Jesus acknowledges in verse 26 that this is the plan of the Heavenly Father. Jesus makes plain in verse 27 that the only way to eternal life and to know the Heavenly Father is to see the kingdom, is to believe on the Son of God. So now here we go. Alright, that's the right one. So come on up, Reagan. So we're going to look at that. First, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Okay. I'm going to need at least one more bag of coffee, so go get that for me. First of all, it's a call to those who are lost to come to Christ for salvation, right? This is the first thing. Notice that they have two kinds of burdens that are addressed. Number one, all ye that labor. So we're going to talk about some of those folks who labor. Do we have people that work in this church? You know, we have people that are willing at our church. We have those who are willing to work and those who are willing to let them. And we have all that, but we have those that labor. All ye that labor, to the weary worker, come unto me and I will give you rest. Is it hard when you're used to working every day for the Lord to take a moment off? I mean, working, going, doing, constantly. It's hard to do it. You're constantly moving. This is what I do. If Christmas comes around and you're not involved in 10 things at church, you feel like you've lost something. We get busy, but we see that there's people out there that are indeed laboring, that they labor in it. There was a gentleman who called a pastor once, and he tried calling the pastor on Monday, and the pastor didn't answer the phone, and the gentleman got mad at the pastor and says, "Man, how can you take off on Monday?" He goes, "Well, Mondays are my day off." He goes, "Devil doesn't take a day off." And he goes, "Yeah, and look what happened to him." And we need to take days off, don't we? We need to take an opportunity to take a day off. We need a moment to rest for a little bit. If we didn't take any time out, we'd be just like that. Think about your membership to the Coronary Club. Think about what that involves, being part of the Coronary Club. Those who are most prone to have high blood pressure and heart issues and all that. We get to find out that the first requirement of membership in the Coronary Club is never to say no to a request. Always say yes. Always say yes. Never say no. Always say yes. Number two, job. Your job comes first. Personal considerations come second. Thank you so much. What I would like you to do now, okay, is I want you to grab my tan hat. You're being really helpful. Thank you. You got to go, though. The second is, your job comes first, personal considerations come secondary. Does your boss care that you have three children at home, or two children at home? Does your boss care? You know what the boss is caring about? The bottom line. They want to see what's going on in the profit and loss. And then, you know, we get busy in activity, and you know what we look at? We look at what's in front of us. So number two was, your job comes first, personal considerations are second. Number three, accept all invitations to meetings, banquets, and committees, etc. You need to accept all of those. If you want to be part of the Coronary Club, you need to accept every single invitation. You cannot miss out on anything. You must be a part of everything. Number four, you need to go to the office on evenings, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. Do you know my boss expects me to work holidays and on Sundays? That guy's tough. Golf, bowling, hobbies, they're a complete waste of time. It is poor policy to take all vacation time which is provided to you. Never delegate responsibility to others. Carry the whole load at all times. Do not eat restful, relaxing meals. Always plan a conference for the dinner hour. If your work calls for traveling, work all day and drive all night to make all your appointments for the next morning. I want some people to hear this, because I'm not preaching at them, but some happen to be here. Fishing and hunting are a waste of time and money. You never bring back enough fish or game to justify the expense. Take the briefcase home on evenings when you don't go to the office. This provides an opportunity to review completely all the troubles and worries of the day. You need to be connected all the time. That is how you can become part of the Coronary Club. What else I got over there? I need to get another bag of coffee. That's just what I think. Yeah. You got anything else over there? Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Except for... Okay. Get the black hat. Thank you. He needs to get his steps today. But when we do that to laborers, we like doing that. We love willing people in our church. We love willing people at work. We love willing people who are willing to work and work and work and work until they burn out, or they act inappropriately to somebody, or they're at the end of the rope. But if they never rest, they're in trouble. Let's talk to the weary worshiper. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Mark 6:31 says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Should we take time to worship God? I mean, really take time to worship God. Do you ever feel like Sunday's like the busiest day of the whole week? And I know I work here, but I'm saying, when I was at the previous church I was at, you know what Sundays were? Oh, I gotta go. What's the next activity? Oh, I got a banquet to plan. I got this to plan. And he starts spastically running around. You come to church to do what? To worship. We're coming to church to worship. And then so we get to see those who are laboring and those who are worshiping that can be under that heavy burden. But next, we also have the weary worldling. We see people of the world that are just weary with life. We go door to door. We talk to these people. We work with these people. You can see the amount of sin that lays upon them. And they look tired. Have you ever seen someone who's sinning that's your age, who's lived a whole life of sinning? They look a whole lot older than you. Have you ever seen somebody like, whoa, what happened to them? Oh, you brought me both, huh? I need the coffee back. So bring the coffee back, and then come back. Oh, I need the Bible when you get back. But we see people with a burden. Does sin weigh heavy on people? Does it make for weary people? Come unto me and rest. And then we get to see those who are heavy laden, those with a physical burden, the aged, The aged. Some of the folks who are older than me, like Mike Strickland. The aged. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Do you have as much energy as Will and David Krenz? Nobody does. They're trying to bottle that up and sell it. The feeble, come unto me and I will give you rest. Have we ever been feeble or disabled for some reason? The suffering, come unto me and I will give you rest. Do we all have moments where we're in a valley? Where we're under a heavy load, that we're under heavy laden, that we're just bogged down? You know what a bill of lading is? Bill of lading tells you what goods are on the vessel. Laden is what? Is the heavy laden on you. It's the heavy load that's on you. And there's some people that carry it with them all the time. And it's tough work. But when we're at church, you gotta work. We don't have time for you to take a rest. Resting's for the sissy. And then we get those with a mental burden. We get the careworn. Come unto me and I will give you rest. The sorrowful. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Then we have those with a spiritual burden. Thank you, Reagan. I really appreciate it. Oh, I got the other coffee there, right? Okay, I need that now, so go get me the coffee. Don't make a big scene, just walk out and... But we get those with a big spiritual burden. Have you ever talked to somebody who's got this big spiritual burden laying upon them? A beggar stopped a lawyer on the street and had in a large southern city and asked him for a quarter. Taking a long, hard look at the man's unshaven face, the attorney asked, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" "You should," came the reply. Notice I'm not doing a southern accent. I don't want to upset Jim. "I'm your former classmate. Remember, second floor, old main hall?" "Why, Sam, of course I know you." Without further question, the lawyer wrote a check for $100. "Here, take this and get a new start. I don't care what's happened in the past. It's the future that counts." And with that, he hurried on. And as the gentleman went on to the bank in his tattered clothing, he walks up to the bank and he looks at the door and he realizes that he is disheveled. He's got the scruffy beard. He smells a little funky. He's all those things. And he goes, they're not going to let me cash the check. They're going to think I stole it. So the next day, he's walking down the same road and he runs into the lawyer. He says this. Said, "Sam, what'd you do with my check? Did you spend it on drinking or did you spend it on drugs or what'd you do? Gamble it away?" And Sam says, "No." Pulled it out of his shirt pocket. Said they hadn't cashed it. He told him why, because he was worried about the bank. Said, "Listen, friend, what makes that check good is not the clothes or your appearance, but my signature. Go on, cash it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. The promise is a negotiable rate. When we come to Jesus Christ, it's not based on our appearance, is it? Jesus Christ takes the worst of the worst. And he makes us whole again. Thank you so much. By the way, he's my example. We'll stand here for a while. Thank you." When we see people with heavy burdens, sometimes we look on the outward and we don't consider what they're going through. We become soil inspectors. We want to test soil out to see if they deserve getting the seed of the Word of God. And we miss out on the big thing. But there's people with real spiritual burdens out there. But you know, for as much as we're told to go, 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 go. How many times did I tell you to go, Reagan? I told Reagan to go 8 times. And what happened 8 times? He went. Was he obedient? Did he do everything I wanted him to do? Did you make some mistakes? But did you keep going? Did you quit? Did you take a break? You didn't take a break. You think I'm really pleased with you? Maybe. Of course I'm pleased you were obedient. But what did you miss out on, Reagan? Got dirt on your head. What have you been doing? Yeah, but did you miss out on anything? Did you miss out on my sermon, the first half of it? See, that's what we do when we're constantly busy with the Lord. We miss out on big chunks of what God has for us. Was he doing anything wrong? He was obeying me, absolutely, without hesitation. Was he giving me attitude? He was awesome. Thank you, Reagan. Take a seat. But with Jesus, we're so used to going, because that's how we prove how much we love Jesus, is by where we go. It's by where we go and what we do and how we say it and how we impress somebody else. And wow, look at this. I am the world's best Christian. I'm teaching 10 classes. I show up to church even when the doors are closed. I just hang out outside until someone shows up. And I love church so much, and I just can't get enough of it. I just can't get enough of it. But here we go. The other half of go is come, isn't it? Come. Come unto me. We're supposed to come unto Jesus Christ. When was the last time you came unto Jesus Christ? Didn't know nothing about it, just taking a moment to go unto Christ. We talk about a prayer closet, taking special time away from Christ, and you go unto him. I think about these gentlemen leaving me for a week behind to fend for myself. I hope as these guys travel, they take a moment and just breathe some fresh air, take some time to come unto Jesus and have some really sweet fellowship with Jesus in the Bible. I hope that when ladies go on a ladies' retreat, that they take time and just read the Bible. That they just don't worry about what's going on the outside. They don't worry about what's happening around them. That they just take some time and relax. They come unto him and rest. They find rest. Where else but Jesus Christ can you find that perfect rest? Whether or not you're heavy laden with burdens, or whether or not you just labor, or whether or not you're just weary from being worldly, or whatever it is, the one place you can find rest is through Jesus Christ. And we program people to work and work and work, because an active church is a happy church, right? We need to learn how to relax for a little bit. Just unplug. And I know we got smartphones, and some people like Facebook, and some people hate Facebook, and some people do this. Whether or not you're reading the news all the time or whatever it is, find time to spend it with Jesus Christ. Think about the other times when you see the word come in the Bible. In Isaiah, it says, come now and reason together. Come now and reason together. Not go. There's a time to go, but there's a time to come. Come now and reason together. There's come and see. The one who knows everything about us. Come and see. I want to show you something. And then we get to see that we get the come and take in the book of Revelation. Come and take. Come. Come and dine, as the disciples did on the seaside. Come and rest in Matthew 11. And come and inherit the kingdom in Matthew 25. We need people to stop. And I'm not saying stop. If you guys quit your ministries next week, I'm going to freak right out. But we do need people to do what? To come unto Christ. We need rest. Can we relax for a moment? Are we busy as a church? You ever look at just the church calendar, not including your planning, and you just go, wow, we're really busy. And I got to be part of everything. It's okay sometimes to tell somebody no. Do you have to give an excuse why you told somebody no? Sometimes you just got to tell them no. Sometimes you can't be there for everybody. Surely when the Lord of heaven and earth extends such a wonderful invitation, it behooves us to respond with a grateful heart. Come unto me and find rest. I know it's not overly exciting, but I'm just trying to get this idea through to you. Do you ever need physical rest? I like to run a little bit. When I run, you know what I found out about myself the more I run? My body's not as elastic as it used to be. My knees start hurting. My back starts hurting. My soul starts hurting. Everything hurts. When you bike too much, you find out things start cramping up. Things start doing things. Your body physically needs rest. You need rest. And there's all sorts of illustrations for it. But spiritual rest is a big deal. When was the last time we spiritually rested? Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have something greater. We have something better than the world has. What are they doing on Wall Street? They're busting it, aren't they? Every day, they're busting it. We got a world that wants us to move faster and faster and faster. But in order to disciple somebody, that takes time, doesn't it? In order to disciple yourself, that takes time, doesn't it? To sit there and learn? To be able to learn how to be a better Christian takes time. To learn to rest is actually a trait, because there's too many busy people out there. We're busy. I'm just begging you to learn how to rest. Once my hands were always trying hard to do my best. Now my heart is sweetly trusting, and all my soul is at rest. Once my brain was always planning, and my heart with cares oppressed. Now I trust the Lord to lead me, and my life is all at rest. Once my life was full of effort, now 'tis full of joy and rest, or zest. Since I took His yoke upon me, Jesus gives me His rest. As you think about what you're going to do for Christ this week, this year, this lifetime, don't just think about the things you're going out and doing. Think about what you're going in and doing. Be reflective. Do we like thinking? Are there too many big thinkers in our world? We need people to really contemplate on the Word of God, to really think about what Jesus Christ has for them, to really study the Word. When was the last time you had a Bible study just for you and yourself? When was the last time you had just a devotion, just you and sweet time of fellowship with Jesus Christ, not just reading through the Bible because you had to get it done? Find opportunities to spend with Jesus Christ. And I know that's not an overly complicated message, and we'll get a little more in-depth later, but I know a lot of people just work really hard around here, and I just wanted to encourage you to just spend time with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, would you thank you?